Cue the Buttons.
Hello and welcome to the second instalment of King of the Buttons. Yes, you find us once more in this treasured place, somewhere between the wireless and the ether. You might ask, what happened since last time? Well, lots of people did, and we had some very mixed feedback, it has to be said. Some called us rusty, some inquired about my mental health, which was very kind of them. But the journey continues, we've got lots of strange and wonderful things coming up over the next 40 minutes or so. This show will help explore the emotional power of TV celebrity, touch nationalism with a short barge pole, and delve into the darker side of folk. King of the Buttons, a lo-fi curly sandwich from the New Media Buffet.
Thank you for calling Dial a Wedding, the fully interactive matrimonial service from Ranko Limited. If you are the bride, please press 1. If you are the groom, please press 2. If you are neither, please hang up. You have pressed 2. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding arranged by
Ranko Limited
for only $3.99 per minute. Please listen carefully to the following options. If you would like background music for the ceremony, please press 1. If you would like bagpipes, please press 6. If you would like choral music, please press 7. If you would like Metallica, please press 8. If you would like to speak to a member of Vicar Services, please hold. You have pressed 6. All of our electronic vicars are currently busy, but your call is important to us, and we will connect you shortly.
Dearly beloved callers, we are gathered here on this conference call to join
the groom
and
the bride
in holy telematrimony. Caller on line 1, if you take the party on line 2 to be your lawfully wedded wife, please press 6. Followed by the hash key now. Caller on line 2, if you take the caller on line 1 to be your lawfully wedded husband, please press 9, followed by the hash key now.
By the power invested in me by British Telecom, I now pronounce you jointly billable man and wife.
Before hanging up, please listen to this message from our sponsors.
Is your marriage bed infested with filthy parasites? Is your bridal suite crawling with cockroaches? Has your wife got nits? Call Jones and Son of Croydon. Best pest control services this side of Dulwich. Cash only.
For divorce services, please hold.
Do you know what? I've christened Saturdays Parcel Day for some bizarre reason. Because for some reason, I've had loads of parcels and things delivered on Saturdays. Mm. Or they've been delivered in the week and they've left me a handy convenience slip that I've had to go down to the special office that they lay on. You know, it's open between sort of 12 and 10 past 12 every fourth Sunday on a leap year. And it really annoys me. It's the downside of the internet. Everything's really easy and accessible to buy. But if you can't get it through your letterbox, that's it. You know, you're stuffed. Do you have similar problems?
No.
Well, not ever.
What are you ordering that comes in a brown wrapped plain wrapped box?
Well, you know, apart from some of my specialist videos, it's just stuff like fridges, Ford Fiestas, you know, just generic stuff,
just sort of impulse purchases, like,
yeah,
that.
You know, just stuff that I see and, you know, quite like.
You know that program, The Lion's Den, I think it's called.
Lion's Den.
Is it the Dragon's Den?
Yeah, that's it.
With the half-wits, with the brilliant business ideas.
That's them,
trying,
yeah,
to persuade people to give them funding. I was trying to think what would be like the worst pitch they'd ever heard.
Yeah.
And I must admit, most of the normal ones are pretty terrible. But I was trying to think what's the worst business idea I could possibly think of. And one thing I came up with was, how about going on the Dragon's Den to pitch a drive-through fridge freezer sales shop?
That would be quite difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could that in any way work?
No, I wouldn't have thought it. I don't think it's got legs as an idea.
You know, I mean, drive-through shopping does exist quite a lot in the US. They have these sort of shops that are, it's like a window, and you sort of go up and they like pass stuff into your car.
I think that's looting you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Ram raiding.
And I just thought, what could you know, what's going to be difficult to do in that format? And I thought fridge freezers might be quite difficult.
Yeah,
to do.
Yeah, they would be quite difficult. Pool tables would be another one.
That's
would be
good,
quite awkward.
Yeah. Anchors for
anchors.
Ships.
Yeah.
Headboards, beds.
Yeah, yeah. And I did once watch that programme, and there was a guy on there who I couldn't quite believe what happened. Is that he came out with this machine to boil an egg, and it was like a toaster or something.
Was it a saucepan?
No, it was like a little electronic gadget thing to boil an egg, right?
Mm.
And he said, oh, well, we all have this problem, don't we? You know, we drop an egg into boiling water and the egg cracks. And I thought, surely you just put the egg in cold water and boil them at the same time.
Or you can get one of those things to prick the egg without breaking the...
Don't be rude.
Yeah, sorry.
But anyway, he demonstrated it, and it not only did it fail to cook the egg, but it didn't work, and it blew up, and all sorts of things went wrong with it, and they still put money into it.
Did they?
They still put the money in.
How much?
About £10-12 or something.
Wow.
It was mega bucks.
Anyway, I filled in my application form, and I'm on in 2 weeks.
Are you?
Yeah.
Excellent. Can I come on as your kind of financial assistant?
Have you got a sequined bikini?
Well, I have, but I haven't ironed it.
Okay.
It's probably still a little bit soiled from the Miss World contest, but I don't want to go into that.
No.
No.
I don't want to go into it either.
No.
Not if it's still soiled.
I think that's what she said.
Lordy, lordy, I'm alone. Oh, lordy, lordy, I'm all alone. Got up this morning, oh, so alone. Oh, I'm alone. Oh, so alone. I went to my brother. He said he was alone. He's lying. I was there with him. He went alone. He went alone. He was lying, he went alone. I'm telling you, he went alone, I seen him. He went alone because I was there with him. He couldn't have been alone. He wasn't alone, I was with him. There was two of us. That means we're not alone because there's two of us. He's never alone because I told him. I came in this house and I said, look, you gotta be one if you gotta be alone, and there's two of us.
This Fife diet, have you heard of this?
The Fife diet?
Yeah.
As in the place?
It's where people are going to exist by eating only fifes and other small flutes, I think.
I've heard of it, but is it a sort of diet where you can only eat in a small Scottish town? Is that the idea?
Not quite. It's the people of Fife, or about two or three people in Fife, have decided to only eat local produce. And so they're only eating things that are from Fife.
Right.
So I imagine...
And what are they famous for growing? Anything in particular?
I think they're eating sort of pine cones and things like that by now.
Delicious. Nice sautéed.
Locally caught fish and locally killed lambs and that sort of thing.
Locally murdered lambs.
Mm.
It is quite difficult, this kind of local sourcing argument. It's quite difficult when you live in like a big city. Because, you know, if you and I had to kind of locally source food... What would just be going through the bins at Waitrose?
Well, you wouldn't get a lot of seafood.
We wouldn't get a lot of that.
Unless you're out at sea.
We'd probably just eat dock leaves and dog mess.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be quite that...
Not that different to what normal then.
No, that's probably true, actually, yeah.
Let me know. The day I realised that I am in love with Adam Hart Davis was April the 25th of June. I was sitting in the editing cupboard reading Biggle's autobiography that Mother had given me for Christmas the year we found out about her affair with a photograph of Ken Livingstone. None of us liked Kenneth much, but it was a nice photo. Whilst nestling against a towel, I was reminded of Adam's lovely silver hair. I suddenly felt an overwhelming urge to flagellate my shins with a stick whilst listening to what the Tudors and Stuarts did for us. Later the next afternoon, my mind wandered from cataloguing my Japanese thimble collection, and I found myself dreaming of becoming a local hero and being discovered by Adam, who would venerate me for inventing some kind of self-propelled potato peeler. Oh, sweet Adam, such a heady mix. Your avuncular disposition, your bland presentation style. How I marvel at your garish shirts and your sensible glasses. I long for you to whisper sweet nothings about Dutch mathematicians in my ear. Some say our love is impractical. What with us never having met each other, but we have so much in common. I watched him slowly riding his lovely bicycle, and I immediately rushed out and bought a bicycle pump myself. I retreated into the shrine I had made in the airing cupboard and engaged in an orgy of frenzied hand pumping whilst reciting my favourite extracts from The Cosmos, a beginner's guide. My Adam, my heart, my Davis, be with me now, and together we will open a B&B in Morecambe and explore the local Victorian sewer system.
King of the Buttons.
Should you fall to the other side?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Folk Hour with me, Bob Rowe, and my brother, Bobbert.
Hello.
Hello, Bobbert.
Hello.
Are you well?
I am.
Good. Today on Folk Hour, we shall be looking at a number of folk-based craft items. And we'll also be singing to Jesus. We'll also be looking at Malcolm Hardbuckle's Wicker Wonderland. And also, Bobbert and I will be chandling in the woods.
We'll also be thinking rather a lot about Jesus.
Yes, I'll be trying some yoghurt, which is made out of the milk of an elk. We love elks, don't we, Bobbert?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Very majestic.
But first, I think, we'll have a little tune about a chestnut or something. Oh, I was walking down in the wood, doing something that I know I shouldn't. I saw my mother's image reflected in the blade, and then I plunged it into a squirrel, and I felt really ashamed. I decided one day to have a lovely walk and think about Jesus again, and I found a pine cone, and I thought, do you know what, Bobbert? That pine cone will make a lovely pen holder for Mother. Unfortunately, Mother's buried, and she's dead. I started getting very emotional. That was a lovely song there. Join us next week on Craft Moments, when we'll be having more moments from the world of craft. Good night, Bobbert.
Now, here's the thing. The Union Jack, do you think that needs an overhaul? Do you think our flag is a little bit old?
No, I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I noticed the suit you're wearing
it's
there.
It's colourful.
Yeah.
It's rectangular. What else do you need in a flag?
Well, this is a good question, because there's lots in the news at the moment about different countries and different places adopting new flags.
Really?
Now, obviously, some countries have to adopt different flags because they're associated with, you know, the old order and kind
right.
of bad things.
Yeah.
But it must be quite a difficult process to actually invent or design a flag.
There are some rubbish ones.
There are some very rubbish ones.
I think the worst one is probably Libya. Which is just green?
Is it just green?
Just completely green.
Hasn't it got yellow something on it?
Maybe it's not that one then.
Maybe. Yeah, but there are some rubbish. There is a particular rubbish one, which is, I think, the Nepalese one, which isn't like a flag, it's just like half a triangle. It's like it's like they couldn't be bothered with the rest of it.
Yeah, maybe it's just, you know, cheap.
Yeah.
And it doubles up as carnival bunting.
That's true.
That's all triangular.
I hadn't considered
think
that.
Think of the savings.
They're endless, I think.
Mm.
There was an idea also at some stage to have a kind of a Union Jack with a bit of green in it.
Green?
Yeah.
What for?
For the Welsh.
They've got red. Red dragon.
That's true.
God, what more do they want?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to scrap that idea because, you know, we don't want to appease them too
much. There's always a bit of fuss about whether or not it's being flown upside down or not. And I can't tell the difference, but apparently there is a right way and a wrong way to fly it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Upside down?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Given it's symmetrical, you would think that that's not possible. No, one set of white stripes is slightly broader than the other one beneath it or something.
Do you think that's a kind of treasonable offence?
I think it's the sort of thing that you'd have to read the Daily Mail to know about, and you'd have to read the Telegraph to care about.
I'm not sure anybody reads the Daily Mail, do they?
I don't think so.
I think they just look at it through the kind of the mist of rage.
Through their blinkered eyes.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Mm. My mum and dad read that.
Through the froth. Oh, I do apologise. They're wonderful people. It's a great paper.
Mm.
Mm. Now, on the subject of parents, over the Christmas period, which seems a long, long way away.
In my family, we normally have that in December.
Do you? Yeah, that's a good time to have it, yeah. Mm. My dad did recently say to me about kind of recording thing, you know, like videos and DVD recorders and all that kind of stuff. He said to me, why can't they just make, like, a DVD recorder straight off? You know, why do you have to buy a DVD player and then you have to buy a recorder and then you've got two things? And I said to him, it's called progress, you know. Henry Ford couldn't invent a 6-speed sports coupe.
Mm.
He had to go, you know, with essentially a pram with a, you know, an engine strapped to it.
With a lawnmower engine in it.
Yeah. So he's struggling to grasp this kind of concept of progress in technology.
Is that why he still wears sort of braces and a Clement Attlee moustache?
Well, yeah, that's one of the aspects, but we won't go into that.
I think parents and technology is a bad combination, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be.
Doesn't your dad hold the remote control like from the bottom up?
He does, yeah.
Press it as if he's pressing the button to, you know, bomb Cuba or something.
He's very precise in his usage of it. And he did once ask me if he had to rewind DVDs, which amused me.
My dad once asked my brother how you save an email. And my brother said, don't delete it. Which, to be fair, is reasonably good advice, I thought.
Do you look back fondly of your school days?
Yes and no. Because, yes. You know, there's a lot of pain in there as well. But one thing that I do recall quite fondly is the really outrageous tricks we used to play on each other, me and my school pals. Have you heard about the clay in the bag?
It's a rumour.
Well, in art lessons, pottery lessons, it was the done thing to secrete large quantities of clay in somebody else's bag or pockets. And I recall one particular afternoon where two of the guys I used to hang around with, they kind of liked each other, but they hated each other at the same time. Do you know what I mean? I think probably what it must be like to be married. And one of the guys got a piece of wet clay the size of a large loaf of bread and put it in the other guy's bag just before we were going home. And didn't say anything. And the guy found it on his when he got home about 4 hours later. And it sort of stuck everything together in his bag, and it was fucking massive.
The other thing that used to happen in our art room at school, I seem to remember, which is clay related, is that you used to get, you know, kids would sit on their school chair, kind of like right on the edge and lean forward, and inevitably their bum crack would appear. And others used to sort of drop balls of clay down their bum crack. And if it was wet clay, it was quite difficult to retrieve. So it'd be like, miss, I need to get some filthy, sticky clay out of my bum crack. And they often thought that was a euphemism for something else.
Was it a religious school that you went to?
No, it was a remand school, I think that's it.
I once owned a particularly fine pencil case.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, sort of friend, decided it would be a really good idea in a biology lesson to fill my pencil case full of fertiliser. And not like nice soil, but like really horrible chemical fertiliser.
Was he the lad that always wore the black balaclava and the green flak jacket?
No, different one.
Oh, right.
And so he did, and he wrecked everything in it, and I had to throw it away. And it was a very smart pencil case. It was a Sherlock Holmes one, and he had a magnifying glass, and the magnifying glass had clear plastic in the middle.
Was it the traditional Sherlock Holmes, or was it the kind of Basil Rathbone style? Did he have a deerstalker,
I don't remember. But I did get my own back because a week or two later we were in a woodwork class. And
you murdered him.
Yeah, I stabbed him in the eye with a chisel. No, not really. That was in metalwork. What I did was when he was using the lathe one day and being heavily supervised, which is a good thing, I took everything out of his bag and I nailed it to the floor with carpet nails and then put everything back in and didn't say anything. And then at the end of the lesson, when the bell went, he grabbed his bag in haste, as was the fashion, and ripped the bottom out of it, and all of his stuff fell out on the floor.
We had, the school I went to, we had a riot in our prefab classroom.
A riot?
A riot, well, a kind of mini riot, and because it had very thin, kind of cardboard-style walls, the wall went in, which was quite amusing to see at the time, but I don't think any of the figures of authority thought so. But the other thing that happened is my friend Dave, the other friend, Dave that I know, his umbrella got used in a wedgie incident, which was basically put between someone's legs and they were hoisted
from either end.
Yeah, exactly, and his umbrella was bent like a banana from thereafter, so he had to go back home to his mum and explain that firstly there'd been a riot at school and secondly his umbrella had been used in a wedgie incident.
There'd been some serious damage to his umbrella.
Yeah, but you know, and obviously I wouldn't be the kind of, you know, well-rounded, polished, professional person I am now without that schooling.
And without that umbrella.
Yeah, quite.
Hey Timmy, I see you walking. Hey Timmy, I hear you talking. I know where you've been, and I think it's a sin. I see you walking down the road with your mother and your father and your brother. I know that you want to go in to the news agents and commit a sin. Don't do it, don't do it. I know you're gonna buy those magazines with the ladies and the gentlemen in. It is evil and it's wrong. You should resist those urges at your age. Don't do it, don't do it. Pornography isn't good, it's evil. Even if it's got gentlemen wearing things in. Oh, don't do it.
So this week's tricky choices,
yeah,
are about hangovers.
Okay.
You haven't got. You've already got a hangover. That's not a choice.
I've had a fair few of hangovers in my day.
I know that's true. So you've got the worst hangover ever.
Right.
The kind, yeah, you know, where you've got a 2p coin under your tongue all night, that sort of thing.
Your mouth's
like the inside of an old kettle.
Yeah, tastes like a brasso.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And where your liver is like a piece of chalk in a bucket of acid.
It's not pleasant.
Right, you're getting the message.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you can feel it banging on the wall.
Yeah, and your head and your mouth are the main problems, but also you have got gut issues.
Yeah.
So you've got.
I think I've had them most of my life anyway, but this is kind of brought on by alcohol.
Only about 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah, alcohol-related hangovers.
Right, okay, I got you.
Not heroin, that's next week.
Okay.
So you've got a choice of drinks to cure your hangover, and you've got to drink one of them.
Absolutely have to drink one of
you
them.
You have to drink one of them.
I'm writing this down because you've caught me like this in the past. So, okay, I have to get one of them.
Right. So the first choice is a nice cup of tea.
Okay.
But with salt instead of sugar. That's option one.
Now, you see, I'll tell you, once I was in a cafe once. This is a true story, but it wasn't tea, it was coffee. And instead of putting 2 spoons of sugar in my coffee, I used the salt and mixed it in. Thought, what a delicious cup of coffee. And nearly, it felt like I was having some kind of brain hemorrhage.
Was it nearly a lethal dose?
I literally ran out of the cafe, like Ken Dodd.
Had you already paid? You run out of cafes all the time.
I can't remember, but all I do remember is my vision kind of going a bit blue. And I had to kind of run into a newsagent to buy a bottle of water and just flush my system out.
Did you?
Oh, I was very ill.
Well, coffee with salt in is number 2. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, right, okay.
So, option 1, nice cup of tea, but with salt instead of sugar.
Okay.
Because you need a lot of salt after a hangover. Everybody knows that. Apparently you do, yeah. Number 2, 3 raw eggs in a lovely mug of vinegar.
Is it spirit or malt vinegar?
Malt vinegar.
Okay.
You know, the subtle kind.
These are important things to know.
Sarsen's finest.
Delicious.
And third is hair of the dog, which is half a can of warm lager with a can stuffed full of dog hairs.
And I have to choose one of these.
You've got to choose one of those three.
What of the three? Which do you think is more kind of nutritionally...
Which
beneficial.
Is most beneficial? Well, the 3 raw eggs are going to be good, but the vinegar...
It's going to be a little bit sour, isn't it?
I would say the tea, because, you know, the British Empire is built on tea.
Yeah, but tea with salt in it.
Tea with salt in.
You see, having relayed my experience to you now, I'm not overly clear that that is a good idea.
But don't forget, 2p under the coin, live it like a piece of chalk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really fancy the warm lager stuffed with dog hairs?
I wouldn't really want to eat hair of anything.
I would recommend... Well, probably killing yourself, but...
This is some hangover, isn't it?
And you've got to drink the whole thing and all down in one go as well.
You could have a little bit of each, maybe, and that could make a nice cocktail.
It wouldn't be a choice then. That's a compromise.
That's true.
You've got to pick one.
I reckon if I was pushed, and I absolutely have to, I think I'd probably have to go with the second one, the eggs and the vinegar. But I think that I'd probably be quite sick in trying to.
Right, well... I think we're going to do that now.
Are we going to do that now?
Because I've got them all in the kitchen.
I did wonder what you're up to over there.
Woke up this morning, my mama done gone. forgot to dress me. Even though I'm 41, she's a bad lazy woman. She don't care for me, and that's why I shot her and buried her to sea. She's a bad lazy woman, yeah. Yeah, bad, bad lazy. Now she's swimming with the fishes. She slowly decompose. She was a bad lazy woman, and now wearing her clothes. Oh man, I'm pretty. I look a treat in my old mama's dress. Her heels on my feet. I got a handbag and a best handkerchief. I bet you wanna see what I'm wearing underneath. Oh yeah, a bad lazy woman. So now I'm a bad lazy woman, living my mama's place. This big old house is so dirty, I'm a big disgrace. Since my mama done died, I cried and I cried. I could swear this old bitch's money when I already arranged her suicide. Oh, now I'm stony broke and I'm lonely. Wearing my mama's clothes. I'm a bad lazy woman, and that's my story, you know. I'm bad and I'm lazy, and I'm a sick mother. That's what I'm talking.
You have been listening to King of the Buttons, written and presented by James Sandy and David Powell, with the creative musings of Mr. Alan Jones.
The stupid drunken lich.
All of the music that you've heard on this podcast can be found on the Podsafe Network and on btpodshow.com. For more listings and for more information, check out kingofthebuttons.co.uk.